time a lot of us heard of an organization called NXIVM, that's N-X-I-V-M, was when several high-ranking members were charged with crimes, including sex trafficking. The group called itself a self-help organization, while a lot of other people called it a cult. Their leader, Keith Raniere, was just sentenced to 120 years in prison. HBO and Starz both have documentary series about NXIVM, and they're both pretty shocking. I'm Linda Holmes, and today we're talking about HBO's The Vow and Starz Seduced on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
On the next episode of Louder Than a Riot, Bobby Shmurda's transition from the streets to superstardom, and how viral fame led to infamy.
I don't ask people from the hood if they got criminal activity going on. I know in hip-hop, the badder the better.
Listen now to Louder Than a Riot from NPR Music.
Welcome back. Joining us from her home in Brooklyn is Brittany Luce, who most recently hosted The Nod with Brittany and Eric on Quibi. Hey, Brittany.
Hello.
It's always good to have you back to chat. And we're going to talk today about these two series. And before we get too deeply into this, I'm going to go through a few of the basics. We want to make sure you understand them, even though they're a little tricky to explain. NXIVM is basically a multi-level marketing company of self-help programs. And what that means is that while they do have seminars that people pay to attend, their members also get paid for recruiting more people. And what really made the NXIVM story take off in the media was that a subgroup of women in NXIVM, that subgroup is called DOS, turned out to be involved in some additional practices that some of them allege involved being coerced into having sex with the group's leader, Keith Raniere. He has always denied coercing anyone. On top of that, some of these women were branded to mark their inclusion in DOS, where they were assigned to higher ranking women as quote unquote slaves. And one of the women who's been accused of being a key leader in DOS is the actress Allison Mack, who was on Smallville. She's pleaded guilty to racketeering, but she hasn't been sentenced yet. So The Vow is a general documentary series about NXIVM that focuses on two couples who have left NXIVM and are now outspoken critics of it. Their names are Bonnie and Mark and Sarah and Nippy. Seduced, on the other hand, is much narrower. It's the story mostly of India Oxenberg, who's a young woman who is deeply involved in NXIVM and in DOS. Her mother is the actress Catherine Oxenberg, and the show is really about the two of them coming to terms with what happened while India was in NXIVM and Catherine was trying to get her out. I know that's sort of a lot of information right at the top, but as you can tell, this is a very complicated story. Brittany, you have said that you don't think of yourself as a person who gravitates to stories about cults. You're not somebody who has always closely followed Charles Manson or anybody like that. But you have followed this, really. You've watched The Vow. You've watched Seduced. As I have, you have listened to a CBC podcast called Uncover, which also deals with this story. Brittany, what do you think it is about this story that has been interesting to you?
I think what's most interesting to me about the NXIVM narrative is how this, I guess, sex cult, basically, that was really harming a lot of women for a long time. And it was led by this guy, Keith Raniere, who you mentioned, who is demonic, is one of the only words that I can think of that would describe his behavior. He wasn't out with it. Like, it wasn't like a Jonestown situation, like with Jim Jones. It wasn't like, a Charles Manson situation where you had this guy who very obviously was into some other stuff. And he had sort of like a quote unquote harem of followers. Sort of like the headquarters of this entire operation were in a suburb of Albany, New York, you know, in a cul-de-sac that looks like so many suburban cul-de-sacs in this country. And a lot of this stuff was happening in like, you know, a regular strip mall, office park type setting. You know, I guess what I think of when I think of a cult, which is like, you know, a bunch of nubile 20-somethings with a charismatic but super out there leader. People are, you know, running around barefoot or, you know, shouting on corner, like street corners, trying to hand out pamphlets. This wasn't that. It was a multi-level marketing scheme that didn't seem on its face that different from any other multi-level marketing scheme. But also it had like the NXIVM sort of DOS cult inside of it. It had the added edge of seeming like it was empowering to women. So it was like this guy, Keith Raniere, took this women's empowerment message, swished it with some multi-level marketing, and then started a sex cult that kind of existed in plain sight for quite a few years. I think that's the thing that kind of got to me, is it's like it didn't fit what I thought were the archetypes of a cult story. It was like something that could be happening right under your nose.
Yeah. And I think one of the things we wanted to talk about, now that, you know, the vow has been concluded for a couple weeks, Seduced is ongoing. I think one of the things we wanted to talk about, too, is that when you get these different series at very much the same time about this same topic, you really see the different approaches. Because one of the things you and I have talked about is that The Vow, one of the two directors took the classes at NXIVM, went to one of their kind of 5-day intensive things, and got to know some of these people who are kind of the lead characters in The Vow. And one of the things I found so strange about the structure of The Vow, which maybe is, you know, maybe some light is cast on it by that very fact, is that for a story that wound up being really about the exploitation and abuse of women and girls, it spends a tremendous amount of time at the beginning talking about this guy, Mark Vicente, who was a, you know, kind of an ally of Keith Raniere and saw himself, you know, was a pretty high up guy in the group, was a documentary filmmaker himself. So did a lot of filming and creation of sort of some of what I guess you would call the propaganda or marketing for the group. They spend a lot of time on Mark. Mm-hmm. And there's an interesting quote from the directors where they kind of say they saw this as a story about a crisis of faith for Mark and Bonnie, his wife, and then Sarah and Nippy, her husband, like this crisis of faith of these people. And I was like, I don't know if I care the most about the crisis of faith for people who were highly placed in this organization versus the abuse that was happening in some cases to people who they had recruited. What do you think?
No, I agree. I remember, like, I was actually only kind of like surface informed about what NXIVM was and what was really going on there. The Vow was the one that I saw first. I saw The Vow first in full, and then I watched Seduced on Stars. And The Vow was confusing to me because the first two or three episodes focus almost entirely on, like you said, Mark Vicente and his wife, Bonnie. I know all this background information on him, and I kept thinking that it was going somewhere. I kept thinking that it was going to eventually fill out some greater point about like the abuse that the women suffered in DOS, and it just never materialized. To me, the story of NXIVM is how this man who seemed to really, really hate women on a deep fundamental level, so much that he would create an entire program where he could abuse them, but also he could train them to abuse each other and continue to all make money for him. They don't really explain that. They don't really explain what was going on, mm-hmm. what the daily functions or a day in the life of a DOS member was like. I didn't get a lot of that information in The Vow. When I watched Seduced, I was like, oh, this is what was happening.
Right.
It was just confusing to me because I was like, oh, the real story of NXIVM is this guy, this kind of evil guy who really hated women, created an entire system so he could abuse them and abuse each other, how he did all of that under the guise of a women's empowerment group. And I felt like we almost got to scratching the surface of that, like you said, maybe 7-8 episodes into The Vow, which was a 9-episode series.
Right. And I think, you know, the other thing that's interesting to me is The Vow, the whole story is this group wasn't what it seemed like it was. So they spend a lot of time establishing what it seemed like it was. And the problem is you now know what it was. And so to go back and sort of excavate what it seemed like it was, I understand that people want to be able to understand how intelligent people get involved in cults. I get all of that. Mm-hmm. But it felt to me ultimately like the reason there was so much focus on that was to sort of justify and apologize for how all these people, you know, like, well, obviously, like anybody would have thought it was wonderful given all of these things. Whereas, you know, my reaction was like, I think you still have to be a very specific kind of person to go into a meeting like this and have people be like, well, this guy you have to call Vanguard because everyone had to call Keith Vanguard. This woman, Nancy Salzman, you have to call her prefect. Like from the beginning, and they have all these rituals, you still are buying into a particular kind of thing. And I don't know that they necessarily really got into what makes you vulnerable to that.
Yeah.
Because they tell the story like, What makes you vulnerable is how wonderful it seemed like it was. And I looked at it and was like, it doesn't actually seem that wonderful to me. Mm-hmm. But one of the other things that I want to talk about, because you noted this and I clocked this also, this does appear to have been not exclusively, but like a super, super white bunch of people.
Yes. Very white bunch of people. It's so interesting because one of the things that comes up for Sarah was like a leading character of The Vow. And she also was like the focus of Uncover, the CBC podcast that you mentioned. Like it was created by somebody who grew up with her and kind of knew her from way back when and wanted to dig deeper into her story. So Sarah is somebody who I feel like I've spent a lot of time with. And something that comes up for her all the time is how she wanted to be a force for good in the world. She says that constantly. And she says it so frequently, after a while, it feels like it starts to lose meaning to a certain degree. Because my thought is that if you're trying to be a force of good in the world, and frequently she says this in response to the election of Donald Trump in 2016 and how much that rocked her to her core, right? How she felt like after Donald Trump got elected, I needed to go change things. So much of Donald Trump's win opened up this festering wound about like the lack dearth of conversations that people have been having, real conversations about race. Mm-hmm. So it's so interesting to me that she felt like through participating in this program where she was making so much money, had this fancy condo in Vancouver, and knew all of these, you know, connected people in Los Angeles or whatever, and, you know, was spending time gaining this higher consciousness, she never looked around and wondered what exactly they were doing to sort of better society. If you're, you know, a rich white woman who's surrounded by a bunch of other wealthy white women or women, white women who at least code as wealthy, that would say to me, granted, I have a different situation in life, but that would say to me sort of that I'm not doing enough.
Right. She was somebody who, like, when I started watching The Vow, obviously The Vow is very sympathetic to her, as it is to Bonnie and to Mark and to Nippy. I just kind of gradually felt myself turn on her, partly because she was someone who to me was a pretty high level person in this group. She made a lot of money. She recruited a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I think she comes closest in the podcast to kind of being asked to reckon with her actual role.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there's so much talk about Allison Mack because she's an actress and because she was famous. And so the fact that, or she was famous-ish, I guess I would say, there was so much talk about her, and she emerges as kind of such a clear-cut villain, particularly in The Vow. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's really interesting to kind of game out, like, what is the big difference between Allison Mack and Sarah?
Something else that I noticed, you know, Seduced does a really good job of digging into and laying out the crimes that were committed during the existence of DOS, especially, you know, by Keith Raniere, and also to a somewhat lesser extent, Allison Mack and a couple of the other women who were sort of first line DOS members who had that direct connection to Keith Raniere. Catherine Oxenberg, it seems like, you know, throughout Seduced, as she's learning and starting to gain a clear understanding of how deeply involved in abusing other people India was, her concern is not that she raised a person who might treat other people a certain way. That's not the concern that she lays out. Mm-hmm. She talks about how she's worried that if India had done XYZ to another person, when it came time for things to get litigious and to go to court and for people to be arrested and for the chips to fall, she was concerned that she wouldn't be seen as a victim. And that was like a big light bulb moment for me, thinking back on both documentaries, is how so much of how these people felt about themselves and how they participated in NXIVM, it felt less about a crisis of conscience on their part and a lot more about how are other people going to see me? Like, it's like, okay, so I've cleared the bar. I'm not going to prison. How are other people going to feel about me? Are other people going to feel bad for me? And a lot less about finding a way to really atone or to grapple with the guilt. Because that's the thing, actually, to me, that's the most interesting. And I feel like they spent the least amount of time expressing. Maybe they feel that way and I just didn't hear about it. Right. But I feel like hours of interviews took place, you know, between Seduced and The Vow. And I never heard that.
What I wanted was more of an exploration of the fact that, of course, it is true that you can be both victim and perpetrator. And I think a lot of these people are clearly both victim and perpetrator.
Absolutely.
But instead of digging into that the way that I wanted them to, they sort of began to, like, I think, as you say, everybody sort of got into a scramble scramble of who's going to wind up being a victim and who's going to wind up being a perpetrator, which simultaneously made, you know, took out the ways in which some of the perpetrators were also victims and took out some of the ways in which the victims were also perpetrators. They are, I think, both really interesting just as studies of how we choose to tell stories. And again, the podcast, the CBC podcast, is called Uncover. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts. I believe it's the first season of something that now has several seasons. We do want to know what you think about The Vow and Seduced. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you, Brittany, as always, for being here.
Thank you for having me. This was a joy. I mean, not the topic.
But I know.
Not the topic.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second, subscribe to our newsletter. It's over at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all tomorrow.